Hello and welcome to this new episode of Daughters of Narcissistic Mothers Breaking Free podcast. Today we're talking about how minimizing narcissistic abuse is a survival mechanism that has the consequence, the impact on your life of actually trapping you in the toxicity, in the abuse, in the toxic cycles. So this is a really important topic, and I want you to stay till the end because there is so much that this can change in your life, but just becoming aware of this mechanism of what we end up doing to survive. So let me start by asking you, have you ever told your story to someone outside the family and seen their eyes go wide? You know, when you were telling them things that your mother has done to you that you thought were normal. And you're seeing shocked reactions in the person listening to you. And if you're nodding, you're like, oh yeah, that happened to me. You're not alone in this. Clients will share their story with me and casually mention things they feel are just the way their mother is, the mother behaves, often not aware that those are highly abusive behaviors. It has happened to me many times too. The last time, actually not so long ago, I've been introduced recently to a really, really lovely lady, a wonderful addition to my family. And she has a beautiful mother energy. She's a really lovely person. And as I was sharing elements of what, for me, I now am aware that those were very toxic behaviors. But for years, I minimize those behaviors. And so I was sharing them with this lady and she was absolutely disgusted. Like as I was telling these stories, she was like, whoa, this is horrible what happened to you. This is like, how do even people behave that way? And I get it now. But for years, I had learned to normalize those behaviors. I had learned to survive by making those toxic behaviors part of the life with my family. They were just part of it. I would say things like, that's just the way my mother is. Or justify her behavior, like saying things, I know it's bad, but she has been through a lot. Or she is going actually through a lot right now. And never mind that according to my mother, she's always going through a lot. Actually, she's the only person on the planet going through a lot, which in her mind makes her very justified in being the way she is with everyone around her. And I know you know what I'm talking about if your mother has narcissistic behaviors, but that's for another episode. How often have you justified your mother's behavior in front of others? Have you gone to the point of defending her and her behaviors? I have, many times. I've actually had fights with my husband, with my current husband, and before with my previous partners, who from the outside could see the toxicity, but I had to defend her. I had to stand for the toxic behavior, because I had normalized it to the point that I actually did not even see it fully as toxic anymore. So we minimize maternal narcissistic abuse for survival. It's easier to live in denial of the actual level of abuse we've been through or currently going through than truly look at it and feel all the pain it has caused you and it might be causing you even now. It's easier to numb ourselves to the point that what goes on feels just normal than to look at our mother and truly see her behavior for what it is. To get the full blow of it, that's painful. So we just minimize and normalize. And if you're listening to this and recognize you've been minimizing and normalizing a lot of what has been happening to you, you're not alone. That is a very wise protective mechanism that has helped you through, that has helped you go through the abuse and actually survive to this point. If as a child I truly could see all the toxicity for what it was and feel the fullness of the pain of it all, I would have crumbled under it a long time ago, because as a child I didn't have a chance to move away from the abuse. You didn't have a chance to move away. As children, we are forced to remain in the environment that we're born in. And even if our parents or our mother or our father are toxic and abusive, we still can't get away from there. And so this protective mechanism of minimizing and normalizing help us to survive. Does this mean that with this coping strategy, we went through it all feeling no pain? Absolutely not. I know you felt a ton of the pain, just as I have. There was enough pain for most of us, and we felt it. But this mechanism helped us lessen in the blow to the point of being able to go through it to a degree. It doesn't zero it. It doesn't eliminate the pain, but it helps us. It would have been even worse. Imagine the pain you've been through. Well, it would have been even worse. Now, it is possible to numb to the point that we feel almost nothing. So you could be going like, actually, you know what? I don't even feel pain anymore. It's been a long time since I've even felt pain. I just don't feel anything anymore. And that does happen. That does happen because, again, we can minimize and normalize to the point that we actually get numb in order to survive. But in most cases, this minimizing and normalizing abuse only takes the edge off a bit. It doesn't just dull it completely. Another reason for minimizing abuse is the secrecy a narcissistic mother will promote around what truly goes on behind closed doors. If you've ever been told, you know, don't share this with your friends, don't talk about what happens in this house, these are private family matters only, and you're not meant to go talk outside this house with other people, you know what I'm talking about. Secrecy and isolation can bring to not knowing what the experience of other is, because you're never sharing with others and you're never actually getting that feedback of actually what you're going through is toxic, because you're not talking about it. And because you're not opening up with others, very often others don't really open up with you fully. So not only you end up feeling incredibly alone, because you never connect with other people that are going through similar situations, but also you don't get the chance to receive feedback and be told what's happening in your house is really off. And that's why a narcissistic mother will tell you to be secretive about what's happening. I have an episode on secrecy on this podcast. I'll add the link in the description. You can go and check it out if you want to know more about this. And secrecy and isolation not only brings you to not knowing what the experience of other is, but it also brings you to feeling the way your mother has behaved is just how every other mother does. You don't have a comparison, and that is actually what she tells you. She will tell you, one of the things that she may be telling you is that's just how a mother should behave, and that's what she's doing. Or another way a narcissistic mother another thing that she'll always tell you is that she's the only one doing it right. So if you actually manage to see by comparison that other behaviors of other mothers or other families don't seem to do the things that happen in your own family, you know, they seem to be way nicer. You're like, I've been to my friend's house and actually her mother's really lovely. Then what she will respond to you is that she's the only one doing it right and that everyone else is wrong. That's the way she makes her abusive behavior sound like that's the only correct way to behave. And you're actually blessed to have a mother like that. You're the only lucky one. Or she can give you a different version, which is, yes, true, you know, other mothers behave differently. And yes, it seems lovely. And she knows that, but she has to behave the way that she is with you because you are problematic, you are difficult, you are bold, bad, too much, and so on. And so she will justify, yes, it can seem from the outside that my behavior is bad and toxic, but it is because of you. And so that way, again, we just have to accept and adapt to that behavior minimize it, normalize it in order to survive. So no matter where it comes from, no matter what sort of story she spinned around her behavior, I have seen so many women feeling that what is very abusive behavior, from looking at it from the outside, is just normal, and they have learned to live with that, myself included, for most of my life. We minimize maternal narcissistic abuse to survive. And I want you to get this, because that's important. Otherwise, we're going to beat ourselves up. But when we understand that it's a survival mechanism, then we can be kind with ourselves. That was necessary to survive. We feel it's normal. We may even believe we deserve it, because if our narcissistic mother is spinning the story in a certain way, we actually believe we really deserve to be treated that way. And this survival mechanism has helped us get to here. That's true. But it has an impact. It keeps us trapped in the toxicity and in the abusive behavior in three different ways. And it's important to become aware of this, because once we become aware, we can actually go, okay, that's a mechanism. But you know what? I'm going to stop it, because I am not going to go through these three different ways anymore in my life, three different impacts that this minimizing and normalizing the abusive behavior brings to your life. So the first way it impacts our life, your life, is no boundaries. It's impossible to set boundaries against an abusive behavior that we do not recognize. You cannot say no to something that you don't know it's hurting you, because you've adapted to survive it. So many behaviors I fully thought were normal, until someone from the outside of the family would witness it and they would be shocked. Be like, what? You've been going through that for how many years? Well, actually, you know, about 30 years of my life. What? Seriously? And you've never set a boundary? Well, you know, I didn't really know I had to set a boundary. I just thought that was it. I thought that was normal. Yeah, it hurt. It did. But, you know, I thought it was because of me that it hurt. I thought I was the one that was too sensitive. How often have you felt that way, you know? That, yes, a behavior is hurting, but it's actually hurting, and it's your fault that it's hurting. Because that's what your mother tells you. Oh, you're just so sensitive. Don't be so reactive to everything I do. Oh, like, look at your brother. He can be fine with the way I'm treating him. And look at you. Or, you know, things like that. So we've been through that. No boundaries, because it's impossible to set boundaries against an abusive behavior that we do not recognize. And that is the first impact that this minimizing and normalizing of the abusive behavior has on your life. The second impact is that we end up in abusive relationships. And I'm talking about romantic relationships, friendships, work relationships, doesn't matter what. Even relationship with our siblings and the patterns that continue, they end up very often being abusive relationships, because if we minimize and normalize abuse, we will normalize other people being abusive towards us. If you don't recognize a behavior for what it is, because you adapted so well to live with it with your mother, then you will not set boundaries with anyone else. You know, another person only needs to do a little better than what your mother was doing to already be like a superhero in your life. And that is the impact of minimizing and normalizing the abusive behavior. And the third way it impacts, and I am taking a breath on this because, oh, that has been, I recognize myself in all of this, but definitely this third one, it's really one that hits home with me quite a bit. We stop reaching for help. And that's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. Maybe we've never even reached for help. That was definitely me. We stopped. At some point we did. We obviously did at some point. But we may have stopped at baby level. You know, at baby level, when you were crying because you had a need and that wasn't met because your mother was not attuned and she was narcissistic and she was self-absorbed and all of that. And you've stopped reaching for help back then. Maybe it was a little later. That depends. It's very personal and it's different for all of us. But at some point, we stopped reaching for help. You know, when you have learned to cope so well by adapting to toxic behavior, you've learned that there's no hope. At some point, you've learned that there's no hope but adapting. And so you've adapted. You don't even feel the need for help and support. And that is really what gets tricky. You don't even think you need it. I've been there. I didn't think I needed support. I thought I could do it all by myself. I actually believed, and that's kind of laughable when I look back at myself, but I believed I was doing well enough not to need help at all. Boy, that was not the case. I had to learn to eat a little bit of humble crumble and actually go, you know what? You need help. You really do on so many levels. And that support is essential. But that is again the impact of adapting and minimizing and normalizing the abuse that put us in a situation where we even stop completely reaching for help. We don't even think we need it. So three ways, three main impacts that this has, this survival mechanism has. We don't set boundaries because we don't even know we need to. We end up in abusive relationships because we're so used to the abuse that one more, one less makes no difference. And we stop reaching for help because we don't even know we need it. So with all this said, it's very important, and I mentioned it earlier, I'm going to say it again, it's very important to be kind with yourself. What can be obvious to someone outside the family, you may have adapted so well to it, it truly is not obvious to you at all until someone points it out. And sometimes not even then. Sometimes we need more than one person to tell us before we truly see it for what it is. I've been there, and again, as I said, not even so long ago. And I did need a couple more people than just one to, like, kind of, validate and let me know and actually really point out that some behaviors were very off. There are still aspects of the life I was living with my mother and grandmother that I'm only now realizing how toxic they were. And at this point, it's easy, again, to beat yourself up, feel like an absolute fool for not realizing it sooner. Sometimes something we haven't fully recognized as a toxic behavior can go from, that's just the way my mother is, to very suddenly, wow. I see how terribly toxic that is in the space of a conversation. And we can feel we have been foolish, blind, too nice for our own good, too naive, and so on. So I invite you to pause that judgmental voice in your head. Be very, very kind with yourself. Minimizing and normalizing the abusive behavior that would have been so hurtful otherwise is a very practical and effective survival mechanism. And had I known then what I know now, although a very natural way of thinking, it's also not a very helpful one. You didn't know then what you know now. And you had to cope in the best way you could with what you knew. And you did that. You did that. So actually, I really want you to give yourself a hug or a pat on the shoulder because you did that. You survived. That's no small thing. That's no small thing. Likely this started when you were a baby and you survived up until now through all of that. That's no small thing. You've been so courageous and amazing in getting through it all and arriving to here and now. I see you in your courage. I want you to hear that. I see you in your courage. I see you in how amazing and resilient you are. And it's also true that grief can come up, anger too, when we start recognizing the fullness of the toxicity we've been through for what it is. There are days the grief is so intense for me, I can barely move through the day, and I have to hold space for it. Be very kind with my body, with myself. Just take a pause. Go, you know what, guys? I'll say to my husband, to my daughters, today is one of those days. There is a lot of grief I'm moving through. And so I'll be a little off. taking full responsibility, but that's what's happening, so you know, so you're safe. That's part of the healing journey. And yet, seeing the toxicity for what it is gives you the power to heal, the power to set boundaries, and the power to reclaim your life. That's major. Seeing it for what it is gives you that power. There's power into objectively looking at it and going, boy, it's painful to look at it, but from this pain, like a phoenix. I have a beautiful image actually here in my room. You can't see it. This is audio only, but of a phoenix rising from the ashes. Because yes, that's what we do. We look at the pain, we feel it courageously, and then we go, now from here, I harness this power to reclaim my life. And you don't have to do this alone. Have the right support for you, one step at a time, to allow yourself to fully recognize the toxic behavior your mother has and has had with you. Heal the wounds that it has caused you, the trauma that it has caused you. Learn to set the boundaries that are needed, and then move on to create the life you want. It is possible, and you can do that now. All of this, it's a journey that you can do with the right support. And support, I'm going to underline, and I know you've heard me saying this before, support is really, really important. As I said before, I thought I could do it all alone. I thought I was so great. I was so sorted, and I didn't need to lean on anyone, because sure, I had learned that leaning on others is a dangerous thing to do at a very young age. And so I was just like, I'm doing this on my own. Who needs a coach? Who needs a therapist? Who needs trauma healing work? Who needs all of this stuff? You know, I can just do it by myself. Yeah, that didn't work. That didn't work. Clearly, that didn't work. Took me a few years to realize it, but yeah, that didn't work. And I definitely needed the help and the support. And thankfully, I got it. And my God, the difference that it makes. The difference that it makes. So on this note, make sure you sign up to the newsletter with the link in the description to be the first to know when the Reclaim Your Life course comes out. I'm putting together a course that I've never shared before this way. It's the stuff that I share with my one-on-one clients. It's what I've been sharing in the community when the community was active. And this is gold for reclaiming your life. At the very least, is a step, and is a very powerful step in the right direction. So I invite you to sign up to the newsletter to be the first one to know. And also, if you are feeling that being the daughters of a narcissistic mother has impacted your marriage, your relationships, know that we have the He Wants, She Wants Marriage podcast. The link is in the description. You're always welcome to check it out. There, myself and my husband talk about marriage, long-term relationships, and how to get the marriage you actually really want and deserve. So there you go. You've got plenty of support here. Now it's on you. Go and take the first step. And it doesn't have to be with me. You know, I always say that if you're listening for a while, get the support wherever you feel that it actually works for you. I'm telling you what's on offer here because it's my job to offer this service. It's actually something that just means a lot to me to be able to support you going through what I've been through in an easier way so that you don't have to go through the mountain of pain I've been through on top of what you've already experienced, but that we can actually go through it. I can help you go through it in an easier way, more effective. Okay, so with that, I'm sending you lots of love and have a wonderful couple of weeks before we chat again. Bye.